Welcome to the Early Wedge Best Bet Show. I am your host, EC. This is the 33rd straight Tuesday that we have been with you at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. We are glad to have such a loyal audience. We always appreciate that. This is the summer finale, though. We'll be doing a President's Cup show in September. But let us bring in the stars of the show. There's a lot to talk about today. Now, we don't have Sia. He's on a plane. But we do have Patrick, we have Sobel, and we have Josh. And Patrick, I'm going to start with you. So we have this new playoff system in the FedEx Cup. I love it because it's match play. Do you like it?
Yeah, I do. I don't think it's a playoff, though. It kind of just seems like its own little event, however you want to categorize that. But it seems like they're doing the right thing, rewarding the regular season champ. I think to separate the two entities was good. It's going to make it a bit easier to follow. And then, yeah, I like the idea of some pool play, which I think is going to take a little volatility out of match play in general, so that you have the top 16. Hopefully the stars move on to the single elimination.
Sobel, for the better part of 2 years, we've been talking about this, the two seasons, and we've been talking about this. Did the PGA Tour get it right, in your opinion?
They got some things right, yeah. I don't know that there's a right answer, and that's the problem with this. I've been spending the last 20 years trying to figure out the best solution to this, and I don't have anything better. So, yeah, let's throw this up against the wall and see if this sticks and see if it works. There's some certain pros and cons. The pros certainly are, let's try match play. People like match play. We can take it to some different and some fun courses that we don't normally see because there are limited fields. And I do like the fact they figured out how to avoid what I've been calling the inverted pyramid. Essentially, day one is better than day two better than day three. If everybody's going to play every day, and even if there are eight matches and seven of them are essentially lame duck matches on Sunday, that's okay. There's still golf to watch, and I think that certainly helps. The cons are that they needed an illustration that took 2.5 minutes sped up just to explain all the rules and parameters of this thing. People like simplicity. I feel like it might be a little too complicated for everyone to grasp, at least for the first year or two. But yeah, I don't have a better idea. And if you don't have a better solution to a problem, then you can't really talk about it. So,
boy, that voiceover, Sobel, was on that video from the PGA Tour. I was like, oof. Guy just didn't. He sounded like he had no passion.
Well, you're missing context too. That guy. That's what that guy does. Like his entire channel is his entire social media presence is explaining things on.
Yeah, but give me some passion for it.
But that's what I'm telling you. That's not what he does. He gives you very matter of fact layout. Okay, so fair. That is what he does. So
all right, let's. Josh, I want to ask you for this one, Matt. If you put up Patrick's tweet from earlier, because this is great stuff. So you, Patrick, you put out the top 32 as it would have been this year. Josh, looking at this group, which would have been your favorite group to choose from?
It's tough for Burns, you know, having the season that he did and then getting Schauffele, Hovland, and Adam Scott in one group. That's probably the one I'm gravitating towards, but there's some fun stuff here for sure.
All right, Patrick, your favorite, if you were to give a pick out of the non-Scotty groups, the other seven groups, and you look at, like, give me one lock. If this was happening this year and we were picking the show, give me one lock that you would have taken.
I'll say this. So this was after St. Jude, as it says in the tweet, because I figure there's two events left after that the Tour Championship is going to take a part of. Scotland, like, infiltrated my replies and was like, where's Bobby Mack? Where's Bobby Mack? Where's Bobby Mack? He was 36 after the St. Jude, so he technically would not have made it. That's why you don't have Cantlay on this list either. If a lock in this? Oh, gosh. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe give me Henley.
Henley? Okay.
Young can't putt, you know, that's a weak group. Young.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Sobel, give me your lot. If we were picking
Clark.
This for the show. Yeah, non-Scotty.
Yeah, not Scotty. I don't really see too many locks. That's why we play match play, because anything can happen, quite frankly. I'm not trying to avoid it. How about, again, depends on where they're playing. I mean, where are they playing? What's the conditions? Who's in good form? I mean, just to pick one player. This is like the old argument. Who would win if Tiger played Jack? I don't know, like, how did Tiger play last week? How did Jack play the week before? Like, there's a million different variables that go into these things. All that said, I'll take Xander over Burns. I don't know.
You guys are missing the easiest one. That Rory McIlroy. You think Rory McIlroy is losing to Alex Fitzpatrick and Bud Colley? And I mean, he's a match player. Siwoo Kim has no match play history, to my knowledge. Come on, guys.
Siwoo Kim went night night at the
president.
Siwoo Kim's good, man.
In a match he ended up losing, but he's still in.
I'm taking. This is a lot of fun to think about, and I think it's a great idea for the PGA Tour. And so this is. Go ahead, Josh. Yeah.
No, go ahead. No, finish.
No, I think this is a fun way for them to do it. And Patrick, I think you laying this out, this is going to be on all those aggregated Instagram.
I told him not to.
Oh, yeah. Steal Patrick's stuff.
He's got blocks.
If you're watching now, steal Patrick's tweet. Make it your own. He doesn't mind.
And so now we transition to tournament storylines. And Sobel, we're going to start with you. What do you consider the good old days?
I don't know. And, you know, I said this for my storyline that, what's the old Andy Bernard line? Like, someone should tell you you're in the good old days before you leave the good old days, something like that. I'm messing it up. But in any case, maybe this is the golden age of the Tour Championship and the FedEx Cup. And we don't realize it right now. And we go to match play and we're like, man, you know what was cool? When we had 30 guys and they went to an event and they played golf for 72 holes and one of them won and he got a trophy. That was really neat back when we did that. I don't know. You know, we keep trying to fix things that we think are broken, but we're not really sure. So, again, I don't have better ideas, so I'm all for it. Let's see what happens. But there's a very decent possibility that what we have right now is going to be better than what we're moving to in the future.
No way. This is the stupidest format. You have a whole regular season, and it's devalued. Basically, for the time, it's totally devalued for this tournament.
They're playing golf. Whoever plays best for 4 days wins the golf tournament. That seems like a pretty democratic way to have a golf tournament.
But there has to, like, and I don't think the starting strokes was perfect either, but I think it was better than this because it rewarded it. It did. Patrick, what was better to you, the starting strokes or the current format?
I actually liked the one before that. with the different point system. You had the Tour Championship winner and the FedEx Cup winner. Like when Tiger won in 18, Tiger won the Tour Championship, Justin Rose won the FedEx Cup. Give me that.
Xander and JT the year before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes it was great, like in 16 with Rory and having to beat Ryan Moore in a playoff.
We're going to see that in 2 years. We're going to have a regular season champion and we're going to have a FedEx Cup champion. Now, Josh, I can't say that I saw on this show, the Golden State Warriors and the PGA Tour being in the same sentence, but somehow you've done it. So what do you got for us?
We got two timelines going on. I'm generally amused by the idea of we're going to announce how this is going to be different soon, the week that we're also asking you to lock in on the way it is now.
Yeah.
That makes me chuckle a little bit, but so we'll say, I mean, we got to do this for a couple more years, right? Or not until 2028.
One more year after this.
That we're going to switch over, right? But I do generally think that having a regular season champion, like there is no sport where the playoffs suggest that they're built for the best team to win it always. Sometimes there will, but the NFL playoffs are not built for the best team to win the Super Bowl every year. The best team gets an advantage in terms of seeding, right? They get a bye week and they end up playing usually a lesser team in the divisional round, but they're not guaranteed a Super Bowl. And I also don't think Scottie Scheffler should be guaranteed a postseason championship as long as he is considered the player of the year, the points winner, as long as we have a very official acknowledgement of that. And then we can get wild in the playoffs for all I care. I mean, that's why the NCAA tournament is so exciting. We got no idea what's going to happen. Well, every Arizona fan hates the NCAA tournament.
Oh, but what do you got? I don't want to talk about that. So, but what do you got for us?
I do expect them to rebrand over the next couple of years and move away from playoffs. I think it's actually less, and people look at playoffs as, okay, we just had a regular season. Now we're going to crown the champion because that's what we do in every other sport. I look at it as more of an all-star game. So it's like, hey, we played the regular season, we crowned a champion of the regular season, and now we're going to have a two-week all-star game, three-week all-star game to determine like who wins the fun, silly stuff.
Yeah, not playoffs.
Yeah.
So what is it called then? I don't understand.
Tour championship.
I think they're going to call it postseason.
I think they're just going to call it the tour championship.
Yeah, they might. Yeah.
So we're just talking about title here rather than suggesting it's not a playoff. Because the PGA Tour wanting it.
The word playoffs has like gotten everybody unhinged for the last two decades where everyone's like, well, wait, it's not a real playoff because, you know, in the playoff. Yeah, I know. We all get it. It's not a real playoff. It's golf. It's not football. It's not baseball. You're not going to crown a champion of the whole season at the end of it. It's just, hey, somebody played the best over the final 3 weeks. That's okay.
Same with NASCAR, what they've done. Where they their chase where they go from 16 to 12 to, you know, 8 to 4. I mean, it's better than nothing, but at least that semi rewards the regular season, unlike this one. Okay, buy or sell this trend that I have for you. Okay.
Oh boy.
No one outside the Data Golf top four has won the Tour Championship since 2019. The top four, according to Data Golf, are Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, Sam Burns, and Matt Fitzpatrick. Are you, without spoiling the rest of the show, are you buying the trend or are you selling the trend, Patrick?
Since 2019, it was actually 2018. Tiger Woods is the last one.
Okay.
I'm selling that. I'm selling. Sell.
Buy or sell.
Yeah, I'm definitely selling your trend.
Josh, I have a feeling your trend was
I was selling it.
Thank you. Josh, what do you got? Buying or selling that?
I'll buy the trend that includes Scottie Scheffler this particular year. Is that cheating?
We'll find out later in the show, but let's move on to FRL. And C has got a few picks for us, and he's not here to explain them because he's on a plane. And if you didn't see Early Edge this morning with him and Buckets actually doing a show in person together, it was gold, and it was awesome. So take a look at that here on the Sportsline YouTube page. So Sia is on Hideki Matsuyama for FRL at 27-1 and Gary Woodland, who is a first round stalwart at 41-1. Sobel, you also have Hideki Matsuyama at a little bit lesser number, but same. Tell us why you like Matsuyama.
I don't. I just had him for a first round leader play for the last 2 weeks. And I figured if I jump ship this week, that it means he's going to start with a 63 on Thursday morning. And I was going to feel sick to my stomach, but he's honestly played terribly, really overall at East Lake, but especially in opening round, shot 69 last year. That was his first sub 70 opener since 2019. So there's not a lot to like, honestly, other than he's playing some pretty good golf right now. And maybe he breaks that string. Alex Smalley is a guy that remember last year, Tommy Fleetwood, big story, great narrative at the end of the season, wins for the first time on U.S. soil. There's only one player in this 30-man field who has never won a PGA Tour event previously. Mm-hmm. It's Alex Smalley. I just think it would be pretty hilarious because the narrative would be totally different. Last year was Tommy Fleetwood, who's come so close so many times, all these near misses. He finally wins, validates everything he's been working towards. If Alex Smalley is on top of that leaderboard at some point, the narrative's going to be 180-degree difference where everyone goes, see, this isn't a real playoff. This guy's never even won before, and he's beaten 29 guys who have PGA Tour victories. It's the same thing, really, I guess. I get it. Tommy Fleetwood's a much better player, more accomplished. That said, I think it'd be a little fun to see Alex Smalley on top of the board, and I think for that reason that he hasn't won before, he's probably a little more motivated than some others.
If you had 2 years in a row, though, Sobel, of a guy who had never had a PGA Tour win, winning the Tour Championship, that is a broken system that needs to be fixed immediately.
Do you know that back in the day, Paul Casey nearly finished? It was Paul Casey 1 year, and there were a couple others, maybe Henrik Stenson once. Paul Casey nearly finished second and would have won the FedEx Cup without winning a tournament the entire year, including the Tour Championship.
That's what it's all about. That's why I like that era the most.
There's one season
where Vijay Singh technically didn't even need to play the Tour Championship.
Yeah.
I mean, that's bad. Sia is in the chat for his own show because he is at 20,000 feet or higher, flying back out of South Florida. So, Sia, glad to have you here. We miss you. And as he said in the chat, please hit the like button. Okay, Patrick, I saved the best for last. I'm so proud of you. It's the last early of the season, and you finally
did it.
Give us Adam Scott.
Adam Scott, first round leader, 33-1. My logic this week was bucketing these players into groups of one, good players, kind of sure things. You know they're going to play well. Two, trending in the right direction. Three, trending in the wrong direction. He is trending in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And 33 to 1 in this field is pretty long. Finished fourth here in 24, had rounds of 68 or better every single time. And I also did add one. He's in the trending mm-hmm. in the right direction. And I mean, some would even say a sure thing. And that's Patrick Cantlay, baby, at 20-1 to be your first round leader. Had two rounds of 64 last year. And I think everyone talks about Tommy Fleetwood winning the Tour Championship last year. People forget they were put on the clock in the final round because he was paired with the Iceman himself, Mr. Cantlay, in that final group. So Cantlay at 20 as well.
I want to give a shout out. We'll talk about this later, but Todd in the chat, he ended up winning the OAD challenge and he is in Alaska. We actually had somebody in our YouTube chat from Perth, Australia last week, or who had referenced that he was in the YouTube comments. Perth, Australia. We are worldwide here on the Early Wedge. C is up way in the air. Todd, you're somewhere in really cold weather, I'm sure. And for our friend in Australia, thank you for watching. Coming up next, speaking of Australians and speaking of Adam Scott, we have another Adam Scott pick that we'll find out more after we hear from one of our sponsors. Last year on this show, I gave out a 5-unit win play on Scottie Scheffler to win the Tour Championship. And it did not go very well. And Tommy Fleetwood was also a staple of the no bet list. But Josh, you say that Scottie Scheffler, we don't need to worry about that this year, I don't think. Because your matchup play is kind of juicy. Tell us about it.
Yeah, for matchups, I generally spend my time looking for the odds that make me stop and go, oh. And Rory McIlroy being +158 to beat anybody at Eastlake is one of those times where I stop and go, oh. Could come back to bite me, but at Eastlake, I'm not sure Rory should be. I mean, this guy's like -210. In this matchup, and so it stopped and made me go whoa. So, and you know, work-life balance kind of punched Scotty in the teeth last week, so recovering from that a little bit, and that's a pretty nice number for a guy who's got a better history here than just about anyone.
Yeah, I like that a lot, actually. Patrick, you have one play on screen and then a bonus play to tell us about, starting with Ryan Gerard.
Bonus play. I'm excited about this bonus play of mine.
Well, no, I just saw in the rundown you have a bonus play in there.
Yeah, a lot of bonus plays today. Ryan Gerard -105 over Bobby Mack. This is just a continuation. I don't think Bobby Mack's out of timeout quite yet. I think he still has to pay his penance. I'm happy that he got into the Tour Championship. I hope he doesn't make a mockery of Eastlake like he did at TPC Southwind when he WD'd. I thought that was poor from the Scotsman. So we're picking on him. And then the bonus play, I think we had this one at St. Jude too, is Matt Fitzpatrick +105 over Cameron Young. Cameron Young has forgotten how to putt, or his caddy Kyle has forgotten how to read greens. It's one or the other, maybe a combination of the two. Think it's starting to bleed a little bit into the psyche and potentially the rest of his game. Don't like this view. And Fitzpatrick, I think, just has more outs, and I'm getting plus money. So I like that one.
All right, fair enough. Matt Fitzpatrick over Cam. You know, I actually looked at Cam Young this week, and then I saw those putting numbers. Because I thought Cam Young, you know, trending in the right direction at East, like, man, those putting numbers are ugly. Speaking of ugly, Sobel, I mean, I have a bet on Patrick Cantlay later in the show. You're going to give us an – I mean, I guess we got to fade Cam Young's putting. That's – the ugliest thing, right?
Yeah, first of all, you said speaking of ugly, and then you threw it right to me. But I thought you were going to say speaking of ugly, we're still betting Patrick Cantlay. What is this? You said 33 weeks of the show this year?
33 weeks of the show, lesson? Yeah.
I mean, how have we not figured out to not bet Patrick Cantlay after 33 weeks? Yet here we are, played really well, runner-up last week. He loves wealth management. He could make a lot of money this week. And so Patrick Cantlay is as motivated as anybody, and Cameron Young looks like he needs a nap. I mean, Cameron Young looks like, and he's talked about, this is his fifth of five straight weeks He's talked about not playing much in the fall other than the President's Cup, maybe the Hero World Challenge. He looks like he wants to go home, get on the couch, and not get up for a couple of weeks. So that's probably what he's going to do after these next 4 days. But I love Patrick Cantlay in this one. And then top rest of the world, I'll call it top international team player, Tom Kim, good course setup for him, taking him over Siwoo, Hideki, Scotty, Minwoo, and Ryan Fox. Tom Kim's playing some good golf right now and would not be surprised to see his name on the first page of the leaderboard come Sunday afternoon.
So you can hit Sobel's prop for top rest of the world and see his prop for top Oceania. Speaking of our friend in Australia, Adam Scott plus 138 over Minwoo Lee and Ryan Fox. Fox probably doesn't belong here, even though he won the Open Championship. Has not really played that well since. Minwoo Lee hasn't played great lately either. So this one, we're getting plus 170 on Tommy Fleetwood over Matt Fitzpatrick, Alex Fitzpatrick, and of course, our final one in Justin Rose. So here's the thing. Alex Fitzpatrick's never played here. He's a newcomer and his putting's been awful lately. He's out. You know, Justin Rose hasn't been in the top 20 here the last 2 years, and he hasn't registered a top 10 finish since the PGA Championship. I'm out. And Matt Fitzpatrick has lost more than five strokes on approach combined in two appearances here, and he hasn't played here in 3 years. I'm out on him. So by process of elimination, as I always do in this category, we're going with the defending champion, Tommy Fleetwood, at juicy odds of plus 170. Patrick, you're giving me a look. What's the problem?
I didn't know the Fitzpatrick stat.
He's not been good here on approach.
He hasn't made it here in quite a while.
He has not been here in quite a while. Yeah. And it's funny because I put him on the no bet list on our first show in mid-January, and Sia said he's going to win two or three times this year, and he's won three times this year. So that's why you listen to Sia, because called the shot. All right, let's move on to our finishing positions, and we're going to talk a lot of Patrick Cantlay here. But Patrick, I'm actually going to start with you. Gosh, there's way too much Patrick Cantlay on the screen.
An egregious really amount. Bad. Just an egregious
it's
amount.
Just, yeah. And I have him on the next screen. It's just
there's even more on the next screen.
But Patrick, we'll just start small here. Give us Adam rich. Scott and Colin.
This is rich. Yeah, Adam Scott, top 10, 2-1 with ties, which is nice. First time here since 24. Because missed out on postseason 25, played great in 2024. He's been awesome the last month or so. So not going to overthink it in a 30-man field. I think he's playing like a top 10-ish player in this field almost. So 2-1 on that. And then Morikawa top 10 at plus 110. Good history here, playing solid, hitting it great, all that jazz.
Sobel, I'll let you start the Patrick Cantlay train. Have at it.
You know, again, we just haven't learned our lesson. I should, instead of betting on Patrick Cantlay, take the money and just give it to Patrick McDonald instead. Like, I at least give it to a Patrick who's
you know what I would do something so and make I'd me put that on Cantlay.
Oh, jeez. You know what? That's why I'm not giving it to you. All right. Patrick Cantlay, top five. Look, he played really well last week. He's played really well at East Lake over the years. I don't know. I'm sure he's going to burn us at some point doing something. You know, the story's been the same, and Josh has chronicled this on the show throughout the year. Either it's play really well for 2 days, get on the leaderboard. We have, you know, we think we have some hope for Patrick Cantlay, then has a terrible weekend, falls down the board, or starts really slow. You're not even paying attention. Backdoors the top 10 on the weekend. You're like, oh, he played pretty well. He never puts the four rounds together. Finally did it last week. We'll see if he can do it 2 weeks in a row. And then even though EC just told us all about Justin Rose not finishing in the top 10 since the PGA, not finishing in the top 20 here the last couple of years, the iron play, those McLaren irons that everybody got mad about, that mid-season switch, working pretty well for him right now. I like Rosie for a top 10.
So Sia is also on Patrick Cantlay for a top 10 at minus 114, and Hideki Matsuyama, who had his top 10 streak snapped at 3 last week, he's going back there at plus 140. Josh, top five, Patrick Cantlay. What more can you add?
Nothing more. I mean, he is who he is, but I think he can finish top five, and he could do that even if he's uninterested all of Sunday, plays himself out of contention, and then he'll finish birdie again to finish T2. But plus 280, I don't need to add any more.
Can I just say, Josh, I feel better knowing that you have him, because I think you hate Cantlay and hate playing Cantlay more than I do. So the fact that you have him makes me feel better about my own play.
Yeah, it's not going to be fun. Sam Burns top 10 at minus 118.
He should be banned from everything on this show after the
Sam
other
Burns.
Yeah, it should be.
It's going to be okay, no. EC.
No, it's not.
I'm just not going to be scared for by an off putting week last week for Burns. He's been a top 10 machine otherwise before the TE28 last week. And I think he'll bounce back. Has some good top 10 history here. Minus 118, including ties. You can get it at even money if you want to forego the ties as well.
In the you can't make this up category. So I'm playing every week. I do an OAD challenge with my buddy Brady, who's the director of golf at a nice golf resort here in Arizona. And this week it was Hideki Matsuyama against Siwoo Kim. Well, they're tied going into the 18th hole. Matsuyama is in the clubhouse. Siwoo Kim, you make par, I break even, whatnot. What do you think Siwoo Kim did on the 72nd hole, Sobel?
Screwed you over.
Yes. Second straight week. A guy can't hit it in the fairway, hits it in a bunker, has to chip out or whatever that is, and makes a bogey. And if this happens again, I'm going to break something in my house on Sunday.
You do have a no bet list if you'd like to put some more names on there.
Siwoo Kim may be close. But speaking of the
Let me know when you do. I'll bet those names outright.
We'll have a new list for 2027. Don't worry. These guys are on this year's no bet list, and I'm going to play them both for top fives and top tens. Start with Victor Hovland. Now, this is no bet list for outrights. We'll talk about that in the next segment as well. But Hovland has his second lowest scoring average at Eastlake in the last 5 years at 67.1. He's never lost on approach here. The problem is the driver is all over the place and the putter's all over the place. If they cooperate, yeah, he could probably win this thing as he did in 2023. And if not, he's not going to cash top five or top 10. I think they're going to work. So I'm going to play those guys. And then I can't believe, Patrick, I can't believe you didn't play your boy, Russ Buss, here. Plus 365 for a top five, plus 132 for a top 10. He has the third lowest scoring average at Eastlake since 2021. He's gained nearly 23 strokes putting over his last five events combined. The flat stick is hot. The around the green game is like mine, which stinks right now. I mean, not that bad, but still, I expect another big week from the Georgia native. And I think great course history here. I'm rolling with him top five and top 10 at some juicy money here for Eastlake. All right, coming up next, if there's one thing that I've learned to hate more than my own dating life, it's something that Jason Sobel taught me. We'll find out next after we hear from one of our sponsors. No Sia in the chat. I do not watch Vanderpump Rules, and I never have. Just want to point that out. Nor Love Island. Never watched that either. All right, I wish I kind of did watch those things over watching any of my golfers onto the 72nd hole or Sobel preseason football, which you have encouraged me to bet each of the last 2 weeks.
No. I have actually discouraged betting on it because you don't know what team's going to win. It's just flip a coin. What I've encouraged you to do is play DFS, which it's more fun in the research and trying to figure out which fifth string running back might go for a touchdown in the fourth quarter than anything else. But no, you shouldn't be betting on this at all.
Are any of you in the chat betting on preseason football or playing DFS? I mean, I thought Sobel wanted me to bet. So I've been going like every game parlay, like type of different things.
Oops.
It's been very painful for me.
My bad.
I feel like it's a time for like first quarter lines. Because you get the A team. The squad with the real football players, and that's maybe a bit more predictable.
But before we get into our outrights, I want one NFL prediction from you. It can be preseason, can be regular season. It can be just give me one prediction. Patrick, I'll start with you.
Hit me last. I need to.
Okay, Josh, I'll start with you.
NFL prediction. Hit me last. I don't know. You got anything? I haven't been deep in the NFL.
I wasn't prepared last week either. I'm not a big futures bettor. You know, I'm a big football guy, but I'll look at week one when we get to week one, and that's about it. Let's see. Overs, I don't even know over under win totals, but Bengals, Jaguars. I said Cardinals last week. It's a very low. It's like 3.5, right? Mm-hmm. I actually like that. So there's a couple for you.
Broncos.
Bears. Plus. Yeah. Rick in the chat said Bears, by the way. I'm on the Bears.
I like that. I like that. Yeah.
Broncos to win the AFC West at plus 225. Mm-hmm. Chiefs are plus 160. Maybe Mahomes is just, you know, it takes a little while to come back from his ACL tear like 12 minutes ago. And the Chargers, I'll just believe their offensive line stays healthy. It's already not healthy. And they're plus 190. So the Broncos probably should have been in the Super Bowl last year. Plus 225 is tasty.
So Sia is going with the Bucks to win the NFC South at plus 170. I actually like the Saints there, and I actually like the Chargers in that division, Josh. But who knows? Patrick, what do you got?
Let's go with the Bills to miss the playoffs.
Mm. Ooh. What's that number?
I have no idea. Mm. But I'm buying that.
So I found this a few weeks ago, and I got to find it again. And it was on DraftKings. The Miami Dolphins to have the worst record in the league at 3.5 to 1.
What are the Browns?
The Browns were like 6 to 1, if I remember correctly. I got to see if this is still up there, but the Dolphins are going to stink.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Wow. Dolphins are going to stink.
Bills to miss the playoffs is plus 255.
Josh, if you have it there.
That is not as juicy as I thought.
Mm.
What kind of number can I get on the Niners to miss the playoffs? Because there are a lot of things swirling around in San Fran right now.
Give me the Packers, too, to miss the playoffs.
San Fran to miss the playoffs is plus 122. And the Packers to miss the playoffs is plus 122.
Even though we're a golf show, we got to talk about
kind of like Niners adjacent, I feel like.
We've got Crispin has – the Browns are 10-1 worst record, Patrick.
I like that.
The Browns are like, but the Browns are like 3 weeks of like C minus quarterback play just on accident from winning way too many games because the rest of the team.
Joe
Everett says Mendoza is now plus 700 for offensive rookie of the year. That's a layup. What, really? He's not even going to play until like week 8.
Yeah.
Where have you been? We do this every year with the number one overall pick. That's a quarterback. He's not going to play. We're going to ease him in. And then the 39-year-old quarterback is bad. And the fans want to see the number one overall pick.
All right. Well, let's get back to golf and let's bring it in for the final time this season. The no bet list, which will figure prominently this week. Listen, we've done 33 shows, guys. And only 7 names have been crossed off this list. I mean, Sobel, you give me a hard time. You and Patrick give me a hard time every week. That's not bad. 7 out of whatever these names. I've added some names here.
Yeah, half of them you added in July. So
No.
Yes. Like the entire right side.
So Matsuyama, Shane Lowry was added in February. So was Matsuyama. Ed Cantlay was added shortly thereafter. And okay, I mean, we've had a few that were midsummer, but still,
I mean, your no bet guys have accounted for 9 PGA Tour victories. That's not good.
9 out of 32.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but you can't. First of all, you cannot count that garbage. The
12
the
of them the are team, in the field this week.
The team play. Well, you can't. The team one should not count. Fitzpatrick already had an X twice.
Yeah, but Collins back saved you from like 3 more L's this year.
I will just say
I was in the model.
My two picks factor prominently from this list. But yeah, I think I've done a good job. I hope you guys in the chat have appreciated how successful the no bet list has been this year.
Yes.
7 out of what?
I love this spin.
And I know I'm going to get Patrick and Josh to second this, but I would like to institute a new rule next year that on the no bet list, if a guy is on your no bet list, you cannot bet him like in the without Scheffler market. You can't bet him in the top 5, top 10 market. If you're not betting him, you're not betting him. You're not putting any money on that player for the whole year.
All right. Agreed. All right. We will do that. I will not. I will just, okay. That's fair.
That's going to save you from yourself too, because then you'll really have to think about guys that you don't, that you have zero faith in.
Well, I won't add names like throughout the year. Like Sam Burns, I wouldn't have added because I thought he was going to win at some point. I was wrong. Shoffley, I thought would have won at some point. Oberg for sure. I mean, Cantlay never's going to win, so I just need to keep him off the. All right, but I am going to play Patrick Cantlay this week. Let's bring in the final. I am. I'm going to do it.
Cantlay's not going to win this week. Literally seconds before his name is under your name on the outrights card.
I'm going to go first just, here. Mwah, mwah. For the first time all year, I'm going first. So Morikawa, I gave you to win the FedEx Cup 3 weeks ago. So I'm sticking with that. I got him at 28-1 or something like that. So I'm sticking with that. That's why he's on there. And Patrick Cantlay, this is the without Scheffler, McIlroy, and Shoffley market. So Patrick Cantlay needs to finish fourth. So there you go. And we know he's going to probably have a good week and not get it done. Go ahead, Josh.
Where did you find that, just out of curiosity?
That is at Bet365.
Oh, that is at Bet365. Okay.
I went and looked for that. Okay. With that said, Patrick, I gave out Patrick Cantlay at 9-1 without those three players.
Mm-hmm. And I'll double the price.
Include them. Bring them on, baby.
You think he can win?
You think Patty Ice?
You think this guy can win?
Of little Rory McIlroy? I don't think so. I'll take Cantlay at 18 and Adam Scott, big number on an online place where you bet. At 56-1 that I sniped. So those are the two picks.
Sobel, a guy that is on the no bet list. Actually, you have two names on the no bet list. Mm-hmm. Xander Schauffele, a guy who plays really well at East Lake.
Yep. And so is Colin Morikawa. You could argue that these are two of, if not the two best skill sets for East Lake and best players here over the last half decade or so, that at least they're in the top three or four. And they've never won the FedEx Championship. So I think that both of them are due for that. Xander Schauffele's got a terrific record here. Other than last year, before that, he had been, or 2 years ago, whatever it might have been, he's got seven top sevens as far as the low 72-hole score. Three times he's had the low 72-hole score and still not won the FedEx Cup Championship. And then Colin Morikawa plays well here. Elite level tee to green play last week. I wasn't sure what we were going to get after a really poor start to the playoffs in Memphis, but much better last week in St. Louis. I expect him to be in the mix and perhaps on top of the board come Sunday afternoon.
Of course, Sia has Patrick Cantlay as well, so he is absolutely mushed on this show, so you have no reason to bet Patrick Cantlay. He also is going with Wyndham Clark to go back-to-back. Patrick, if Wyndham Clark wins this event and wins the FedEx Cup, is he the player of the year over Scottie Scheffler?
No.
Four wins.
You can't actually believe
a major and the FedEx Cup. Comes down to
this week. You see, mm-hmm. No, he would be, yes, 100%.
Sobel
comes down to this week.
For me, I'm going to interpret this award, which doesn't really have an interpretation. It's like putting somebody in the Hall of Fame. Like, what are the credentials? What are we looking at? Just, you know, if they were really good. I don't really know what that means, and I don't really know what it means for player of the year. Are we looking at the most accomplished player or the best player? I'm going to interpret it as the best player. Scottie Scheffler's been the best player. He gets the award.
Josh, what do you say?
Is this the world in which Wyndham wins this week?
If C is right and Wyndham wins this week, do you think that he deserves player of the year over Scottie Scheffler?
Yes. Okay. I mean, I just don't think that we're ever talking about who the best player is with that award. Sometimes the best player has the best season.
It's who had the best season.
But I think with that amount of wins,
four wins, a major in the FedEx Cup, you probably got to get it done.
I mean, we're talking about
Wyndham. You could just say he had the best, like, end of the summer, you know. Did he have the best four wins,
FedEx Cup. That's what you want. I mean, show me the trophies. Show me the trophies.
This too. Two other things. First of all, I've talked to a lot of players, both present players and past players on the PGA Tour. Uh-huh. They spend less time working on the ballot than we just spent talking about it for the last four minutes. Yeah. They spend no time on this thing. They get the email. They go, boom. All right, I'm done. They are not looking at this, and they are the ones who vote. It's not us and the media. It's not someone else. It's the players who vote on this. So we give them a little too much credit. Second part of this is we talk so much about it. Last year, Scottie Scheffler was given the Player of the Year award during the Hero World Challenge in December. By the time we get to December, I guarantee I will have forgotten who I wanted to win the Player of the Year award because it's 3 months, 4 months after the season has ended.
That's a great point. But Crispin also has another one for you, Josh. So you also have Cantlay. He's mushed. We know that on this show. I mean, look at the screen. If Chris Goddard wins this week, could you make an argument, as you are predicting, could you make an argument that he could be Player of the Year worthy?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, he...
Four wins.
He also starts to sneak into that, you know, just sheer numbers thing. I mean, it's really hard to deny a guy who won four times for Player of the Year. I'm not sure he would win, but I think you can make an argument. Sure.
Why do you like him this week?
I like him this week because he mashes the golf ball, and a lot of the course profile suggests that you've either got to be unbelievably accurate, which is why Colin Morikawa has played well here in the past, which is why I think it's a good pick this week, because he's just going to hit from the fairway a ton, or you've got to have the speed and the distance to get it out of the rough that they're going to have to deal with this week. I like the number in a field of only 30. It was kind of one of those names that I think he can win the golf tournament and is a nicer number than some of those really short odds that some of these guys have. But yeah, I think he profiles well. And the other part of it for me personally is I like it when the FedEx Cup champion is indicative of a guy who had a year worthy of it. And I would put Chris Goddard up on that list. We just talked about how he would have a case for Player of the Year. So him being the FedEx Cup champion, I wouldn't have a problem with.
And there it is. Wyndham Clark, Chris Goddard, Scottie Scheffler. One of them is going to win Player of the Year, and you probably won't be able to name it come December, as Sobel said, because nobody really cares about that award, I think. Yeah. Okay, time for long shots. Now, Josh, you have a strategy for us this week, and I think it's a very interesting one. You gave us this, I believe, the last couple weeks, and you're sticking with it, and I like it. So what do you got?
Yeah, I just really, more so than officially playing these things, I just wanted to point out that there are a lot of names that we just saw on the previous page for really short numbers that, I mean, in a field of 30, it's conceivable that a guy go out and be the first round leader and go on to win. There are some names with really great history here and guys that are playing well with really long numbers to go wire to wire. Xander Schauffele, 74-1. Patrick Cantlay, 110-1. Colin Morikawa, 125-1. Those are just those are way more fun than betting Xander Schauffele at 12 and a quarter to 1. So just pointing it out more than anything else, but those numbers fit on this screen and the normal outright numbers definitely don't.
Sobel, you got your round robin parlay. We have appreciated these every week. Give us one this week.
So I talked about Morikawa at the Tour Championship this week. Eugenio Shikar's ball striking has been fantastic recently. Mm-hmm. He's got two wins on the DP World Tour already. He will be on the PGA Tour next year, so the pressure's off a little bit. Also love the number. If you just want to play him in the outright market, you can find him at 30-1 this week. I think that's a really nice number, inflated a little bit because guys like Hatton and Reed are going back out there and playing the British Masters, but Shikara can absolutely win. It's a Parkland golf course, plays more like an American style course than the Belfry than a Lynx course. Then Stuart Sink is your parlay boost for the week. They're playing at Warwick Hills in Michigan. When he played Warwick Hills, the Buick Challenge, when he was on the PGA Tour, he had four top tens in 8 career starts. Now that it's on the Champions Tour, he's the back-to-back defending champion. He's won the last 2 years, and also he won in his last start. I can't give you any more than that. He's plus 300, 3-1 in most markets right now. Just whatever you like this week, tack a little Stuart Sink on the back end of it to boost that up.
We love our parlay boosters. That's good stuff. Thanks, Sobel. That's a great one. Three parlays here. I think Rory has a very good chance to win. I just didn't want to give him out at plus 870 or whatever it was. Of course, I gave out Cantlay at 9-1 and that without market. So what do I know? Rory to win, Cantlay top 5, Morikawa top 10, 55-1. Then how about this top 10 parlay at 90-1? We got Scheffler. We got Rory. We got Xander. We got Colin. We got Hovland, Henley, and Cantlay. That's seven guys to finish in the top with ties. With ties, 90-1. Why not? There's 30 guys in the field. With ties, there could be 13 guys, right? Something like that. 7-13. We can do that. 90-1.
The odds you should get for correctly predicting 70% of the top 10 in a golf tournament, regardless of how many players that like, I mean, that's fun. I'm down, but it should be like three times that.
There's 30 guys in the field. Now this is going to be, this, I think the British Masters parlay I have here is harder to hit than the seven guys in the top 10. I have a top 20 parlay of Hatton, Jacob Skovolason, who shot 6-under on Sunday at last week to get in the top 20, Andy Sullivan, and of course, former Masters champion, Danny Willett, top 20. So four guys, three British guys, and Skovolason at a little over 82-1. I think that's harder to hit than the seven guys in the top 10. Patrick, if you were to take one of those two parlays, would you take my top 20 at the British Masters or seven guys in the top 10?
You know, I'll buy into the top 10 for you. I will say there's one thing I like to do at the Tour Championship every year.
Yeah.
And it is to bet players to make bogey on number one. Typically plays as the most difficult hole. I think last year was around 4.4. Try to target kind of those more inaccurate guys, get off to trouble early. Typically somewhere around 2-1 to make bogey on the opening hole. You can get someone like Scheffler over 3-1 if you want to go that way. But if you want immediate skin in the game, bogey on the first hole for these players.
That's a great bet. I love that. Okay, remember that. We're doing this. Remember, bet guys to bet bogey to make bogey every round. So you have 120 chances to do that. So we love that.
Yes,
I
did it in maybe 24. It was like Justin Thomas, and I was on a plane, and my phone was just like blowing up. It was like, oh my God, he missed the putt. He missed the putt.
I've got one for you. The year Rory won, was that 3 years ago, 4 years ago, whatever it was. I picked Rory to win that week, hit his first tee shot of the week out of bounds. And I had some guy on Twitter absolutely rip me. You're a jinx. You're terrible. You don't know anything. Can't believe like you would bet Rory and this and that. And I'm like, man, I can't wait. Like Rory went on to win the golf tournament. And I was like, I'm going to blow up this dude on Twitter. Deleted, gone.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, did the tweet or his whole profile?
I think just the tweet. I don't know. I couldn't find. He might have disappeared too.
User no longer exists.
So I got to tell you guys, I looked this up. Unfortunately, the last 2 years of this current scoring format, only 11 guys have been included in the top 10. So we got to hit seven guys out of 11 this year, basically. I think we got this. I feel good.
Maybe we're due for like 12 or 13, though.
Yeah. I'm due. I've been so close to hitting some of these this year. I'm due. Speaking of so close, it's time for OAD. And they're kind of the recap here. This is a really, like Todd in the chat, congratulations. You earned it here. But I really, and you are a great champion, $22 million, but with Wyndham Clark. But if you're Kristen, that is a bad beat. You're ahead literally the whole year, and you finish second because Todd correctly picks Wyndham Clark. Congrats to our top 10. Our guy, let's see, Mutundis dropped down. He dropped to 13th. Stonewall to 16th.
Stonewall lost the war. bull run is feels like ages ago.
Tough one for Stonewall. History repeating itself. Congrats to our top 10 there. Now let's see how we did. And Sia was really good for a lot of the year. And he dropped to 63rd. Josh, 72nd. You made a late run. Patrick, you were hanging in. You still beat me at 134th. You guys don't get to edit my dating profile. I did finish around the top 22 or 23% of the pool. So I know, in 150th place. And Sobel, congratulations. Just want to point out, you got $3.2 million for the entire season, and Todd last week, our winner, had $3.5 million.
Only 3. One 6. Of us on that screen right now is heading in the right direction.
Trending.
Going trending.
Do you remember Patrick's buckets for this week? You know, rock solid guys trending up and trending down.
That's right.
Only Sobel is trending.
Yep. Yeah,
Sobel. Congratulations.
He'll be a trendy pick to win this in 27.
Mm-hmm. As Sia wants to remind us, there is a Splash Sports NFL contest for Early Edge. Sign up at splashsports.com. Going to be big time. Big $5,000 in prizes. So this is a way for Sobel to make back all that money that he lost or something like that in OAD or on preseason DFS, one of the two. Yeah. I mean, come on. Are you winning preseason DFS?
I came close. I actually was going to mention it when you were talking about it earlier.
Did you?
I was up a dollar. I had like 12 lineups the other night, and I was up a dollar, and it was like mid fourth quarter of the last game. And I'm like, this is it. Even though it's nothing, I was just going to screenshot it, send it to UEC, and go profit with big capital letters. And somehow I didn't look. I wasn't watching the games. And 2 minutes later, I go, and I was down $3 on the entire thing. I'm like, can't even say I made a profit anymore.
Worst $3 you've ever lost. All right, before we move on, you know, throughout this segment this year, we've talked about dating, my dating disaster. So there have been, since I've been doing the show, I think I've gone out with 12 different girls, and I've gone 0 for 12. So before we end the season on this show, there's a lot of those. I need one dating tip for me.
You ain't doing one and
three
done.
Of you.
My guy, you see, ain't.
They're speaking of one and done. I want one dating tip from you, Patrick, from each of you before
from
we move
me?
On. Yeah, one dating tip that you have for me. Yep.
One dating tip. Just keep asking questions. Really the name of the game.
Josh, what do you got?
Do you like, are we talking having successful first few dates or like things continuing deep into like dozens?
And they never
dates?
Continue deep. So anything you got, whatever you got.
Understanding the signals of when they're having a bad day and then being able to act off of that is good stuff. That can be very helpful, but really just paying attention to the details. That's the big umbrella there.
Sia's advice is to say, wow, that's really interesting. And make sure you have at least one follow-up question after you say that. Sia, I have all the follow-up questions.
Yeah, that's good.
They never ask me anything.
Like Josh mentioned, just like remembering small stuff, eat it up.
That's great. Okay.
You got to make sure you get the, wow, that's interesting. Like the enthusiasm level right with that, because
wow, that's interesting.
Because if you're too into that, then they're gonna think you're making fun of them.
Mike Miller says, listen, don't wait to talk. Okay, that's fair. No P Kettles, there's no Jed York dating tips. Hey, listen,
check out the Ohio scene.
Hey, Todd, that casino sponsors my Arizona podcast, so I'm all about it. So thank you if you're looking in the chat. Sobel, give me a dating tip that I can have for the future.
Make her laugh, whether it's with you or at you. I'm old, I'm ugly, I'm not very interesting, but my girl is beautiful, and I can make her laugh even if it's at me most of the time.
That's good. Great tips,
that's good.
Guys. Crispin says, EC, have you ever considered finding a girl with low self-esteem? A lot of them do. I never take them to Applebee's. So yes, they do. I mean, they're going out with me. What do you expect? Do you think they have high self-esteem if they're going out with me? Okay. Let us move on from there, and let's try to give our best bet for the Tour Championship.
Right. And Josh,
we're going to try. Josh, we're going to start with you because Sia agrees with your pick. So start with Patrick Cantlay in the top 10.
Yeah, I kind of forgot that we still had to do best bets. I'm going to lock in here. Patrick Cantlay, top 10, minus 114. We've beat the drum on how well Cantlay has played the last month or so and the way he played last week at the BMW. We've also beat the drum at having not really any faith in him winning the golf tournament, but top 10, beating, you know, two-thirds of the field this week feels very, very doable. He's got good history here and just doing a lot of things well. So Patrick Cantlay, top 10 at minus 114, and Sia's right there with me.
Sobel is laying some juice with this one. Sobel, but it's a great pick. Colin Morikawa, top 10, minus 125.
Colin Morikawa owes us one. He might owe himself one as well. Mm-hmm. I remember going into the Players' Championship. He was a favorite play of a few of us here on the board for an outright that week. I loved him. I thought he was going to win at Sawgrass. hurt his back on the second hole that week, and it took him a while to recover. That said, still feel like there's a little more gas left in the tank, a little more motivation. Kind of a weird year for him with the back injury. First child came along, but I do think Colin Morikawa was playing some really good golf, has a great history at East Lake. Would not be surprised to see him win this. Top 10, lock it in.
Patrick, I'm so proud of you. It took 33 weeks, and you finally are giving us Adam Scott in the top 10.
Yes, Adam Scott, top 10, 2-1. Over the last month, he's the second best driver in this field, only to Xander Schauffele, has good history here, comes in with a string of form. And since this is the bonus episode, EC, my bonus bet is you being in a committed long-term relationship this time next year.
Oh.
Patrick has one winning bet of those two, and
we'll find out on Sunday.
You decide which one is the winner and which one's the loser. My best bet is Russell Henley, top 10 at plus 132. He's great here at Eastlake, averages 67.2 per round dating back to 2021. And his putter is on fire right now, gaining nearly 23 strokes combined over his last five events. The around the green play isn't great, but hey, if he can just get it on the green and make putts, I think the Georgia native can get us a top 10 at plus 132. Before we get going, I got to ask you guys, well, first of all, let's recap it. I have Russ Henley, top 10, plus 132. Josh and Sia have Patrick Cantlay, top 10, minus 114. Sobel has Colin Morikawa, top 10 at minus 125. And Patrick has Adam Scott for a top 10 at 2-1 odds. All right, before we get going, I got to ask you, your favorite tournament of the season, what was it and why? Now, I'll give you mine. I didn't pick very many winners on this show this year. I've kind of failed. But one that I did get was Gary Woodland in the without market, 80-1 at the Houston Open. And so easily, that was my favorite tournament of the year, watching Gary get back in the winner's circle and winning me a good amount of money. All right, Patrick, what do you got?
I think the Players, just everything it had with a young guy trying to win the biggest tournament of his life. You had Thor Bjornsson with Ludvig as well, him booting it away on the back nine, opening it up. Fitzpatrick and Young just hit shot after shot coming down the stretch. Xander kind of got in the mix too. So I'll go with the Players. Always seems to produce.
Josh, what do you got?
I suppose selfishly, from a betting perspective, it has to be Vic at the Travelers Championship. Mm-hmm. You know, saying right, life is too short to bet against, you know, in the without Scottie Scheffler market, and then having to wait until Monday morning to victory lap that. So from a betting perspective, it was probably that one, but I'll probably go with the Open being my favorite just golf tournament of the year, watching Ryan Fox do what he did at the end there and just cap off what was a unexpected for the most part, but an engaging year of major championships. I thought that one was a lot of fun.
Sobel, your favorite tournament of this year was?
This is sort of like the Player of the Year discussion, where you can take it in a lot of different directions, interpret it in a lot of different ways. I will say that at the end of any season that I spent a week at Augusta National, it's going to be tough for me to say anything other than the Masters was my favorite week of the year.
I can't believe you just Augusta mogged me.
We just totally can't
believe
got
you
that.
I can't believe you just did that.
You know what? Patrick was there too, and he didn't say it. So apparently,
it's like a given. It's like
Josh
a given.
Josh can take a spot next year.
It's like, you know, yeah, Scottie Scheffler, top name on the odds board every week. That's the Masters.
Nope. Don't expect a credential next year if you don't say it.
I'm gonna start crying, guys. I'm gonna start crying.
Look at behind Sobel's left shoulder. He has one of his Masters gnomes. I believe right behind you. There it is, right there. Yep. There he is. Master, one of many. So many of us, like Josh said, wish we could go to the Masters. I got to say, Sia brought this up in the chat. When he actually put $114 on Jacob Bridgman earlier in the year to win, and it would have won him like well into the five figures, and got a little bit of a sweat. And of course, Bridgman wins a few weeks later at the Genesis. Guys, how can I concentrate after looking at Sobel right now with the no? Can we all get those? Can you guys buy those for us next year and like send them out?
One per customer.
One per.
I mean, I don't think we're doing it. This was the last year too. So other than that, no.
Guys, for those of you in the chat, we see a lot of the same names every week. You guys are the best. You kind of keep it, you know, you keep us interested as we go along throughout the show. We get to interact with you. We get to interact with each other on the show, and we always appreciate it. from Rick and Zach and Mike and Crispin and so many of you. We want to thank you guys. And for those of you who watch later on, David Talk is one that comes to mind. So many of you guys that I'm missing. You guys are awesome. Matt, behind the scenes. Just absolutely. I can't say, you know, how thankful we all are for everything that that you've done for us throughout the show. Same for you, Josh. We've been really glad to have you as a great contributor every week on this show. So it's a hell of a crew. So I'm grateful for it. See ya. I know you're watching. Thanks for always making this show off the cuff. We have a lot of fun with random discussions. So, and Patrick and Sobel, it's always an honor. I mean, you guys, the amount of knowledge that you guys share and entertainment and dating tips and everything in between. I have a blast with
it. The honor is ours, you see. Our faithful
let's run,
leader. Oh, captain, let's, my captain.
Let's run it back for the President's Cup. We'll be that in, what is that, like 3 or 4 weeks? And then hopefully we can run it back again in 2027. So for Matt behind the scenes, for Josh, for Patrick, for Sobel, and Sia in the chat, I am EC. And as I always like to say, let's hit it big. Good luck.
Podcasts.
The world crowned its winner. Now, the champions play.
Oh, it's the Champions League!
Where the best players,
it's Haaland!
From the best clubs,
Paris Saint-Germain take the lead,
collide from September to June.
Brilliant play.
And every match,
an immaculate save,
is paramount.
This is the moment!
This is the world's best soccer.
They've waited for so long!
The UEFA Champions League. Stream every match live, exclusively on Paramount+.